And it's the Phil Hendry Show here on this, what is this, man, Wednesday night?
Yes, Wednesday.
Wednesday night and or Thursday morning, depending upon where you are. Just entering Thursday morning on the East Coast. And we're happy to be with you here, happy to be back as we reboot our radio show, a 23-year-old effort, man. And I'll tell you something about this show. It's completely unique in just about everything we do. And as a result, it tests the mettle and the skill of all involved and everybody that we have, you know, from our technical support guys to me, to you, our advertisers, our stations, everybody's on board and doing the very, very best. But it's a show that from the producing end demands a lot. And from the end of just about everybody, it demands a lot of them. And it takes some very, very special people to be a part of our radio show. And I cannot stop acknowledging guys like Ron Hartenbaum and everybody at WID, everybody at Dial Global, Peter, who's on the other end of the show this evening, everyone in D.C., Tom Hartman for his studio. I can't stop acknowledging those guys because they're really special people. This show is unlike any other. And the people that come in on our side and decide to jump in and fight the fight with us, we respect and admire and we value for, well, for the rest of our lives. Thank you. Cut. Okay. So, and coming up, we have, who do we have?
Well, you have Dean Wheeler, and I want to make if I could make a statement, I've been wanting to make a statement all evening, if I might.
Okay.
Because what you just said was very pretty, but I think I speak for, well, I'm speaking for myself. I'm Margaret Gray, everyone. Okay?
Okay, great.
Well,
what's the matter? But look, Margaret, I don't have time to billboard anybody, if that's what you're talking about.
I'm not talking about that. I made a very specific statement regarding my singing at the Landlubber, and also at you said I can't say the name of the club in Riverside.
No, you can't say the name of that club. No, because it's a filthy name. You know, and I'm sorry that Frank's booking you into these joints, but you can't say it.
All right, but I wanted everyone to know that Blow Wind Blow Bob's Love to Me is a love song, and there were some complaints. That's all I wanted to, that's the only thing I wanted to make a statement on.
Blow Wind, what is it?
That's the name of the song that Ms. Gray did on her set.
The name of the song on the set?
Yes, one of the songs in the set was called Blow Wind Blow Bob's Love to Me.
Yeah, people thought it was dirty.
Well, what do you mean?
I don't know, Margaret. I this is the first I'm hearing about this. Okay?
Well, I want everyone to know that I don't do filth.
Okay, the song is called Blow Bob's Love to...
You know what? I hope...
Well, I'm sorry.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah, go ahead. Laugh it up.
You going to the bathroom now? This will be the first... We got a whole new audience now, and they'll know now that every time you get pissed off, you go to the bathroom.
That's right. I'm going to the bathroom. Sue me. Oh, my God. I've got kidneys. And I have to evacuate. You don't?
All right. Let's not talk about it.
That's what I thought.
What's the name of the song?
It's called Blow the Wind to Me.
No, man. It's not Blow the Wind to Me. It's called Blow Bob's Love to Me.
Blow Bob's Love to Me. And this is the...
Yes.
Who wrote that? She can't hear me. All right, so anybody that complained it wasn't a dirty song. It's a love song.
I'll do it. It's a song about Bob, all right?
Going back to the bathroom?
Yes.
So she came out of the bathroom just long enough to say that.
Yeah, I better go get some paper towels.
All right, so Blow Bob's Love to Me. This is all apart. Margaret is back singing again, and I guess she's at a couple of clubs here in the Los Angeles area. She was at the Landlubber. I know she was at Dick Wood's Lounge. And I can't say the name of this club she was at in Riverside because apparently it's the name of the club has the same name as a portion of a woman's anatomy, and that happens to be the last name of the guy that opened the club. So don't ask me. If I was that guy, I'd change my name. I swear to God, it's not even worth it.
I've known that family for a long time, Phil.
Fine, but I mean, I'm not going to say it on the air. And how many people take advertising from that guy?
A lot of people do. Your show is one of the few that doesn't.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Well, you don't have to believe it, but a lot of people do.
The name of this club, ladies and gentlemen, is a four-letter reference to a part of a woman's anatomy. And this is the guy's last name. And I'm supposed to advertise that on my show? Forget it. It isn't going to happen. I'm sorry. I can tell people that you're going to be singing this weekend at a very famous jazz club, and it's in Riverside, California, and go on out and see Margaret sing, but I ain't saying the name of that club, so forget it.
I ain't saying... Well, you talk, Phil, just like some... You talk like a rube, you know that? Like a real stevedore.
Well, I'm sorry. A stevedore happens to be a dock worker.
Well, whatever a dumbass is.
Yeah, a dumbass dock worker.
Okay, a dumbass dock worker. All right, so before we get into... discussions with our good friend Dean Wheeler concerning the Bradley Manning case. There's a couple of things that I wanted to get out of the way. Refrigerator Perry is not dead. William the Refrigerator Perry, who played defensive line for the Chicago Bears and the Philadelphia Eagles during his 10-year NFL career, you can add him to the list of people who've been killed by erroneous internet reports. Perry's agent, his brother, alma mater, and Perry himself all confirmed that he was very much alive on Wednesday, despite a TigerNet.com tweet that has since been deleted. Oh, well. Clemson's football sports information director immediately contradicted the stories. Tim Boray said, and I quote, "Some have reported that William Perry has passed away. That is not correct. He is fine." Perry's agent, Adam Plotkin, told the Chicago Tribune that Perry's brother, Michael Dean, had received a lot of calls about his siblings' quote-unquote death. "I guess someone called Michael Dean and said that someone found out that someone named William Perry died, but it wasn't the fridge. Someone from Clemson called us as well and said they had been getting a lot of calls and stuff. He's completely fine." You know, at what point do you not report this stuff, man? At what point do you say, do you just not report it? Why report it?
Why report what?
If the report is erroneous, why would one pass it along? Now I understand that that Twitter is different. Twitter and Facebook, those are non-professionals. It's just folks. But if you were in the news business, and you would take that bait, man, you are an idiot.
Well, I don't think anyone's taking. I think what happens is this: the people on Twitter say it. The news business denies it, and then the other people in the news business talk about the people that denied it. You see?
No, I don't.
Oh, you're a liar.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying that the Twitter people report it, then the Facebook people report it, then the news people, the professionals say, no, it didn't happen, and then other news people say, there was a... Oh.
She said a four-letter word.
Yes, I did.
Well, can you please watch your language? We've got the mics are open.
I'm getting sick of having to explain everything.
That's fine, Margaret. Just watch the F word.
She said it again.
So?
Don't do it. I'm going to get fined. I'm going to get fined by the FCC, okay? The Federal Communications Commission.
Well, I'm sick and tired of having to explain everything around here.
Well, you're going to have to look it. I'll put it the way that I think you said it, and I'll when we come back, we'll do it. How about that? Because I do have to take a break. You're listening here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to come back with Dean Wheeler, who's going to talk with us about the Bradley Manning case. We'll come back and explain what Margaret was trying to say when she was talking about the denial of William the Refrigerator Perry being dead, which he ain't. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. Hello, Phil Henry Show, every night here till 10 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and our number 855-500-7445. And with me here this hour is going to be Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and we'll be talking with Dean about this Bradley Manning case. Dean is a prominent critic. I was going to say he's a prominent critic of government, but in this case... Dean is going to be speaking on behalf, I think, of the Obama administration. Margaret, let me just put it to you. You're a liberal. How do you feel about this case?
I'm a liberal, but I believe that President Obama, and I think this is a... I think President Obama did the right thing. I think Eric Holder did the right thing. I think that the entire affair is unfortunate because usually when someone is outing the government and some of the things the government does, it's a good thing, but in this instance, I think it's bad, and I don't really want to talk too much about it because it takes...
Yeah, it takes too much. You don't want to be a hypocrite.
Oh, why don't you shut... I'm going to reach across you, Phil, and I'm going to punch him.
No, you're not. Hey, watch it.
You're being hypocritical.
No, I'm not being hypocritical, you jackball.
Well, okay, let's get on our good buddy here, Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and talk about this from the standpoint of he's also a, I wouldn't say he's an Obama fan. I mean, is that a good way to put that, Dean? You're an Obama fan?
Well, I voted for President Obama. I suppose you could say that I'm a fan of what he has intended to do. And I think for the most part, the president has come through with flying colors. I think he's done a magnificent job in the face of this devastating situation, the events of the Bush administration that were dropped in his lap. Like somebody said to me the other day that what President Bush dropped into President Obama's lap was the equivalent of a dead child. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you, Phil.
No, I haven't. Why use a comparison like that?
Well, a lot of people, Margaret, you know.
Yeah, on the Titanic, there was a dead kid, I think.
Yeah, there was a dead kid on the Titanic.
Okay, hold on for just a minute. Let's just knock it off, okay?
Knock off what?
That if you want to use the comparison, that's fine. Let's not start getting off into the Titanic and dead kids.
But Phil, what he's trying to say is, have you ever had someone hand you a dead kid?
No, no one ever has.
Then you don't know, do you? It's a devastating thing.
Have you?
No.
Dean, have you?
No, I haven't, but it's... Can you imagine what it would be like?
What are you talking about?
On the Titanic, there was a guy sitting, minding his own business, and someone handed him a dead... I thought it was a dead kid.
No, it was a dead... It was a fully grown man, but it was a small man, and it...
Yeah, well, you don't want... She doesn't want to say midget.
All right, I want you people to just be quiet. Everybody in studio, shut up. I'm talking to Dean.
I don't like being told to shut up.
I'm telling you to shut up.
Well, Phil, I'm sorry if I started something.
Just never mind. Continue.
Well, I'm just saying that it was the equivalent. I understand what Bud's saying. On the Titanic, there was a small man that was pulled out of the water because it was freezing that night.
There was a small man pulled out of the water and dropped in the lap of somebody, and they thought it was a dead kid.
Yeah. And so the story began there, and they said, well, have you ever had a dead kid dropped in your lap? No, it was a small man. And it's a barroom joke that I wanted to resurrect for tonight's discussion, which I think is very serious. And speaking of small men, Bradley Manning is a small man. And a small man not only in physical stature... But he's a small man, I think, in mental, in spiritual stature, because what he did to this country, stabbing the entire American population in the back by leaking these documents to this Mr. Assange, I think was, for all people everywhere, a terrible betrayal, a terrible betrayal of what we represent here in this country.
All right, now we're getting into substance. A terrible betrayal. I'm not that I would disagree with you.
Well, he's a member of the military.
All right. Not that I would disagree with you. Now, this was something that this entire issue, you might say, people had sort of switched sides on the whole idea of government documents being leaked. I dare say that were this a conservative Republican administration, then you would have had a great deal of defense of Bradley Manning coming from the same people that are now defending President Obama. Is that what you're saying?
No. Now you're calling me a hypocrite.
Well, I mean, don't you believe that this is turned on politics entirely?
No, I do not believe that. No, I do not believe that. I believe that Bradley Manning, look at him. He is a soldier only in name. He's 5 foot nothing, a buck nothing. I can't believe the guy got into the Army. And I want to believe that in order for him to get noticed, to get some recognition, to get some notoriety, he decided to take highly classified documents and to spill them out onto the internet so that this vampire by the name of Assange could suck it all up and regurgitate it into the ether, into the Twitterverse or the internet, or the webiverse. And anyone, Phil, anyone, regardless of how intelligent, regardless of how well-informed, anyone could look this stuff over as if they're looking over photographs of your daughter taken without her consent and through a curtain by some creep standing out in the rain. It's the same kind of violation. And what the Obama administration and what Attorney General Holder did was to finally say enough is enough. No one is going to be taking pictures of my daughter while she's bending over in the shower.
Okay, all right. These are the comparisons that I don't like.
I think he's making a very good point here.
Well, you got to understand that this is a violation of the American people that is not unlike a peeping Tom sticking a camera lens right through your bedroom window while you're out of town or you're at work and your wife is there putting on nail polish with her back to the window, and I think you understand what that means.
All right, so in other words, Assange is a peeping Tom with all the moral fiber of a peeping Tom, and Bradley Manning is a guy that was enabling that. Why all of the support for these guys?
I think there was. I don't think that there was that much support. I think it was loud, and I think it was all this sort of anti-Obama. The anti-Obama voices are loud and shrill and screeching because I don't think there's a lot of them, and so they need to be louder and shriller and more screechified or screeched and screech more. You know.
Well, screech more.
They screech more, and. And for the opponents of the Obama administration, you find yourself defending a guy who is spilling the secrets of the United States out there.
All right, but you don't see the politics. I personally do. I just think that if this was the Bush administration, and you and Margaret both are liberals, big-time liberal Democrats, if this was the Bush administration...
Why? What difference does it make?
Because this is the game that's played, man. So I'm going to continue the game here. I mean, this is the game that is played. I hear it all the time. Well, you know, every time somebody gets in trouble, the other side, well, they say, well, look, you know, the other side does it worse. I'm looking at a guy right on TV right now who's the captain of that kind of stuff, Sean Hannity.
Well, Sean Hannity. He's the worst. He's just the worst. You know what he's showing on his show right now? A rodeo. And you know why he's showing a rodeo? Because he gets his kicks with those steaks. Margaret?
Yeah, well, Sean Hannity's always giving away steaks.
Okay.
Right. He's giving away steaks all the time. That's how he gets his laughs.
Okay, so he's showing a rodeo. Why?
Because he wants to show you what the steer was doing just before Sean Hannity decided to give part of it away. You know, I don't have any love for those people. But here is the...
So Sean Hannity is showing a rodeo to get his laughs, showing you the steer before it died and was turned into steaks?
That's pretty weird.
What is weird? Wait a minute. I don't like being laughed at.
Well, I'm laughing at you. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life.
Phil, everyone knows that you tend to be more conservative than liberal, and you're having a very hard time with the Bradley Manning case, aren't you?
No, I am not. Not at all. I'm very happy that they arrested him. I'm very happy that he's going to be convicted, I think. Did you see what he did today?
Yeah, he apologized.
And I'm glad that he apologized, because I think that's the beginning of a little bit of truth finally being spoken by this young man who's in a deep load of doo-doo, man.
Well, let's remember who put him in the doo-doo. Let's remember who put him in the doo-doo, and that was President Obama put him in the doo-doo, and Eric Holder.
Yeah, Eric Holder had as much to do with putting him in the doo-doo as Obama.
All right, we've beaten the word doo-doo into the ground.
Well, it's not really a word.
Okay, it's not a word.
But I think your point is well made. They put him in the
All right, well, let's take a break here and come back in a moment here with Dean Wheeler as we continue talking about the Bradley Manning case and you know, the unusual position I think that a lot of people on the liberal side may have them find themselves in these days, you know, defending the government, defending the government's protection of secrets and the government's protection of America's I don't know, intelligence. It's strange, it's weird, and yet it's kind of cool too, you know. I don't know. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And, of course, a backstage pass gets you access to all of that marvelous stuff there at philhendryshow.com. We got Dean Wheeler with us here, Margaret and Bud and Robert. And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 10 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, it's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, entertains you, loaded with content, loaded with... It's weird. I mean, that's all I can tell you. We do have Dean Wheeler on the line with us. Sorry to say weird and look at you, Margaret, but...
Yeah, I don't like... I think tonight has been a very disrespectful night, I think, for your in-studio co-hosts, Phil. I understand that you're trying to get things cranking along, but I was going to sing People Get Ready. You said no. I wanted to talk about where the toilet paper was in the ladies' room. You said no. You even went so far as to say, get her paper towels.
Yeah, and you said the F word twice on the air, and I asked you not to, and you went, oh, well, you know.
I did what? What you just did there was the most effeminate thing.
Yeah, it did look kind of famous, Henry.
Well, I don't care what it looked like. I'm trying to talk to her about... In any event, I apologize, but we are trying... I was just talking to Peter, and he's you know, he is aware of the fact we're working out some kinks here, so take it easy, will you? Okay, everybody, thank you for joining us. All of you guys out there in Radio Land listening in on this childish banter.
That's dirty pool. That's not childish.
Yes, it's very important to us. I speak on behalf of these ones.
Yeah. All right, let's get back here. Dean Wheeler on the line from, Dean is in Northern California at the Northern California Holistic Center. Bradley Manning. So go ahead, Dean. You had written a piece, I think, for one of the weeklies up there. I forget which one.
It was for our Holistic Center. It was for our Holistic Center handout. I thought you got a copy of it.
No, I did not, no.
Well, it was for our Holistic Center handout, and the article that I wrote was... I think as a I don't want to call you a conservative, Phil, but any conservative should be very proud of it, because I said that Bradley Manning was a little squirt, was a little pipsqueak, was a the kind of guy that he looks like one of these guys that thinks he's all that in a bag of pork rinds, and you just as soon step on him as look at him. I mean, he's a little tiny punk. And he was trying to stick it in and break it off. And I think that President Obama did the right thing.
Well, of course he did. Of course he did. I don't doubt that for a second. And I argued all the time with people, you know, about how the president was being, I think, shortchanged and even maligned. Some of these idiots were saying, oh, well, yeah, Obama picking and choosing.
Can I interrupt you for a second, Phil?
Go ahead. What?
I thought I was the guest.
Yeah, I was going to say, Phil, you're sort of monopolizing.
Well, excuse me.
Well, don't be... Don't start to cry about it.
Phil, don't be childish. It's just that you're monopolizing.
I'm not being childish, and I'm not going to cry about it. I just thought I'd... Am I allowed to say anything?
Well, all you do is talk, and it's your show, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think you ought to let him say.
Wow. Go ahead.
Oh, now he's going to bawl.
Phil, take it easy.
I'm not bawling. Go ahead.
Well, I don't really have that much I don't really know what else I want to say.
Then why did you interrupt me?
I just wanted to ask you why...
Well, say something, Dean. You did interrupt him.
All right, I'll just say what I was saying, which is Bradley Manning is a little tiny squirt, and if I had half the chance, I'd walk up to him and say, hi, Bradley, my name's Dean Wheeler. I do yoga, I'm a vegetarian, I'm a liberal, but you've got me so angry, I feel like Well, you don't even know what I want to say to him.
What would you say, seriously?
I'd kick his ass around the block for drill, for the things he'd done. And I have been an educated man. I've worked with women's health issues. We have our own spa. I believe in aromatherapy. I do yoga, as I mentioned. I am a vegan, as I mentioned. I take a daily colonic, as I didn't mention, but I'm mentioning it now. So all of these things I do would label me as some kind of a pushover. But if I saw Bradley Manning coming down the street, I'd kick his ass around the block for drill. Okay?
All right. So this guy, by virtue of the fact that he is a traitor, if you will.
Well, I wouldn't call him that. I just think he was very misguided and misdirected. And all of the criticism that has been leveled at President Obama has been wrongheaded and needs to end now. And that's what I'm saying, and that is going to be the focus of our statement tomorrow at the Holistic Health Center Coalition.
Now, this is going to be where, Dean?
The Holistic Center Coalition will be in downtown San Francisco. We're going to be having that right after we have a potluck breakfast. And what we're asking is for people to just bring whatever. You can bring potluck, whatever you have for breakfast. I mean, some of these people eat some very strange thing. I don't. In other words, I don't want anybody bringing anything into this that I can't eat. When I say potluck breakfast, please don't bring in chorizo because I can't eat it. And not only that, I actually bleed if I eat chorizo.
You bleed?
Yeah.
No, that's the chorizo.
No, it's not the chorizo. Okay, Emeralda's coming back on stage. What else?
I didn't know you were in the club.
Yeah, I'm in the club tonight.
Okay, so your wife is singing. Do you mind if we give the audience? A lot of people haven't heard her singing. She is. This is Dean's wife, Emeralda. She is in a. Where are you tonight?
I told you I was at Peterborough's. I'm here in the city.
You're just like.
Yeah, there. Okay. That's my wife.
That's Emeralda Wheeler, and she's singing now. And so she's still doing her gigs around town.
Yeah, she's doing. Hold on for a minute, because if I hear that horn player one more time.
Every time you're on the show. You talk about that horn player.
I didn't. Did I say to you that I wanted to be on right now?
No, you're right.
I said that I was going to talk to you about Bradley Manning, and then I was going to get off because Emeralda. Shut up. This is the same guy. Watch this. This is the same guy every week. No, I won't shut up. That's my wife. Did I just hear a horn?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You don't like that guy, do you?
No, I hate his guts. No, I won't shut up. That's my wife. Every week you tell me to shut up. And okay, he hit me.
All right, let's get off the. All right, thanks very much, Dean.
Well, is he all right?
I don't know if he's all right. I don't care if he's all right. You're right. We shouldn't have stayed with him, and that's my fault. But his wife is gigging, if you'll pardon the expression, around San Francisco. She's a singer. Is the album coming out?
I don't really care about her album. What about mine?
You're right. Margaret Gray's compilation is... Tell us about it, Margaret.
Yes, thank you, Phil. The new Margaret Gray compilation, Voyage to Planet Margaret, is going to be... What are you laughing at? Would you tell it not to laugh?
Don't laugh, bud.
Now I'm going to start all over again, and if I see him so much as crack a smile, I'm going to walk over there and I'm going to geld him alive.
Now watch it, will you?
The new Margaret...
Bud, leave the room.
I didn't do anything.
Get out of here.
The new Margaret Gray compilation, Voyage to Planet Margaret, is available. It will be available shortly, and I'll tell you where. I don't want to say where. Phil is not going to carry it on his website because I asked him not to. And there's nothing against you, Phil. Don't comment, please. I'm not done. It's nothing against you, Phil. I don't want to see my music in that environment. I'm sure you understand. So the new musical compilation, Margaret Gray's Voyage to Planet Margaret, will be available soon.
All right. Now, what are some of the songs?
I had the set. I'm sorry. I know that one of them is Blow Wind Blow, Blow Bob's Love to Me. The other is Why Do You Look Like That, which is a lovely song. It was penned by Bill Murdeen. Do you know the songwriting team of Murdeen and Murdeen?
No, I don't.
Well, can I get the set list and then we can come back and talk about it?
That'd be fine. We'll see what Margaret's the set list.
I mean the track list for the album.
Okay. But we know, what is it, Why Do You Look Like That?
Why Do You Look the Way You Do? That's the name of it. And then the other one is Talking to No One, which is another love. There are a lot of ballads, a lot of beautiful ballads. I wanted to do some remakes. I really, really wanted to do a cover of Norman, the great Sue Thompson feminist classic.
Now, Norman is that old song, right?
It's an oldie. It goes, do-do, Norman, ooh-woo-woo-woo-woo, do-do-do-do, Norman, do-do-do. You know the song, right?
Yeah, I know that one. You're playing it today.
Yes. I really wanted to do that, but the record company threw a big fit, and I said, you know what? Fine. Great. I could care less. You're all a bunch of old men, and you'll be dead soon anyway.
You didn't... You didn't say that to them, did you?
Yes, I did. The other song that I wanted to do, There's a New World Somewhere. You know that song?
The Seekers, right?
I don't know. I don't. I just know the song. Do you know the name of it?
I'll Never Find Another You.
Good, because I didn't know the name of it either. I just know it was in my head, and I wanted to do it.
What head?
What does that mean, what head?
Hey, watch it, will you? God.
I'll kill him.
Take it easy. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more of this news, entertainment news, I guess you could call it, and what else is happening out there. I'm just laughing at, I don't know what I'm laughing at. So we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and our number, of course, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Thank you, Dean Wheeler. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Show and welcome back here as we wrap up for tonight, or wipe up for tonight, whatever you want to call it. We do thank Dean Wheeler for being with us, and no offense intended there, Dean. You know, your wife's a fine singer. I don't know. I haven't been able to see her live, but I know that every time we have him on the show, if we have him on the show and he's watching her.
Well, there's something with a horn player in that band.
Yeah, bring me a horn player. Talk about the horn player, man.
Apparently the horn player, first of all, he doesn't like the way the guy plays horn.
It's not a horn, it's a trumpet.
Okay, I'm sorry. He doesn't like the way the guy plays the trumpet. And secondly, he figures this guy and his wife are involved, so it's just one big bummer every time he hears a trumpet or I don't know. And then he's got that one guy. What's that guy's story?
Yeah, apparently that's the guy who's at all the gigs. He likes the way the guy's wife sings it. He's always telling Dean... You don't shut his mouth.
Right. Well, I don't... How is it that those two guys are always in the same part of the club every time they do a gig?
Phil, I don't know. Maybe this guy's got a thing for Dean's wife.
Well, okay, fine. I mean, every guy's got his favorite singer. I mean, this guy's... You know, this thing about these singers, and especially singers that play clubs, and I'm not saying that Dean's wife is a lounge singer. I think she's probably graduated now to whatever... I mean, has she got a record out, or what's going on with that?
Well, why are your eyes casting around like you don't want everyone to hear what you're saying?
Because I don't know. What's the story with her?
Yeah, she's...
She's not that good, but Dean thinks she's a big star.
All right. Well, in any event, the thing about lounge singers is, even at that level, they have their fans. They have their fans. I went around one time with a friend of mine, who was an entertainment writer for one of the local papers here down at the El Pacifico, Elena Jarvis. And Elena and I went to all of these little nightclubs here on the beach one night because she was doing an article on lounge singers. And, man, it was really interesting because we went from one place to the next to the next to the next, each place with its own featured performer. You know how they have, like, you know, every Friday night it's so-and-so.
Well, yeah, I used to do that before I, you know, before Frank gave me the opportunity to, you know, to work with Bill Barre, and...
I don't know any of these guys that you're talking about.
Well, that means nothing. Bill Barre, you've never heard of him. What about Del Villa?
Del Villa?
Who's he?
Who's he? Shut up, bud. You've never heard of Del Villa?
No.
Where is that?
What do you mean, where is that? That's a man. That's not...
In any event...
That's all.
Okay, so I don't know, Mark. Do
I have an album coming out, and does she? Yes, I do. No, she doesn't. Thank you. Me, one. Dean's quote-unquote wife, nothing.
And why do you put that in quotes?
Is she a thing with a thing?
What?
Is she sleeping with the trumpet player?
I don't want to comment. You know that he could be listening right now.
That's why I was whispering.
Doesn't matter. People will turn it up.
She doesn't listen to me. So I went around with Elena this night while she was doing this article, and we went to these different clubs. And I'm telling you, it was really interesting, the fan base that the different singers have. It could be any club, any little lounge, and they're all kind of cozy little places. You know, I like them all. I wouldn't say any of them were dives. Not a one of them was a dive. They're all very classy, nice joints, you know, and they had a piano, kind of a piano bar deal, you know, where they you can sit at the piano.
Is that what a piano bar is? Because I never really... I know that people would sit at a piano. That's what a piano bar is?
Yeah, I think so. I think a piano bar is a bar where you can also sit at the piano, if I'm not mistaken. And in any event, a couple of these places were like that. And so, and I would see these guys sitting there. And one guy, not that he was anything other than a fan. He was talking to her. He was suggesting, hey, do the one that you do. It's so fantastic. And she liked his suggestions. And it turned out, because Elena was interviewing each of these artists after they got off after they got off stage, after their set, and it turned out that, they knew all the regulars, they knew all these people to come in and watch them, and these cats make a living at this, man, just playing this one place, you know? They can make their living, they can make a comfortable living doing that. And occasionally, I guess maybe they go down and they do some session where I don't know how it works, but for their whole lives, and that's all they want to do, and that's all they ever really expect to do. They're not going to try and make a million bucks on tour. They don't want to be a big star.
Well, I don't know how anyone. Anyway, it would burn as if I'd eaten a bowl of chili peppers the night before, and now it's Sunday morning and it's got to come. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Oh, well, why don't you grow up?
Okay, Margaret, you don't have to put it like that.
Like what?
I ate a bowl of chili peppers, and now it's Sunday, and it's got to come out.
Can you think of anything that burns worse? Well, yes, there are things that burn worse, but... In other words, if you could eat napalm...
I understand what you're saying. You don't have to get graphic. So, yes, I suppose for people that are extremely motivated and are ambitious, yeah, it would be tough. I don't think if that was my profession. I know that when I started in radio, I started, what's with the yawn?
Well, here we go again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell my audience, the part of which has never heard the story, if you don't mind.
Fine.
When I started in radio, I started in very small markets and very small stations, but I didn't want to stay there. I wanted to move up. I wanted to get into the bigger markets and work at the bigger stations. So I'm just trying to say that that would not be, but I'm not putting anybody down if they want to stay there. If that's what they want to do, that's what they should do. I'm trying to avoid all of this serious-ass news, man, because I just personally, whatever, Jack, you know. Egypt is aflame. What else is new? Here is some entertainment news. Downton Abbey's Sophie McShera gears up for Disney's Cinderella. Okay, big wow there. All kinds of Downton Abbey news. They're going to be starting a new season. Their movie, the people that are starring in the show are doing other projects. Everybody's making millions of dollars. This is a horrifying story not so horrifying as it is embarrassing. Real Housewives Lisa Vanderpump, Ellie Samaha, caught up in an ugly West Hollywood bar fight. As a matter of fact, now that I look at this, this looks like something I wished I would have been in, at least in the club to see. Vanderpump and her husband Ken Todd have issued a statement denying any wrongdoing in the real estate deal, saying that they had no prior knowledge of the plaintiffs and that they entered into their lease in good faith. We had no prior knowledge of Ryan Carrillo and Andrew Groover or their claim, Vanderpump and Todd said. We took the lease in good faith 7 months ago, and all our applications and notices have been posted publicly. Previously, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Lisa Vanderpump has found herself swept up in drama yet again, and this time it's drama of the legal variety. They've been named as defendants in a lawsuit filed by a couple of bar entrepreneurs who claimed that they were screwed over by producer Ellie Samaha and that Vanderpump swiped the West Hollywood location where they planned to open their business. In a lawsuit, what did they do? I guess they stole the name or so. They previously worked at the hotspot, the Abbey, and its parent company, SPE, claimed that they partnered with. Okay, so somebody apparently stole somebody's name, and it's a copyright fight. That they're involved in there, and who knows how that's going to wind up.
You know, these Real Housewives, I just want to say something. If any of them is listening, any of you so-called stars, all of you reality television people, you're not stars, you're chumps, chump change, and enjoy it while it lasts.
All right, well said. Thanks so much, guys, for being with us on our show this evening, and we certainly hope that you are back with us again tomorrow night. It's been real. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Peter, thank you very much for your help back there. We'll see you guys later on. And also, of course, Margaret and Robert and Bud, thank you. Check us out at philhendryshow.com. Peace out. See you tomorrow night.